first, let's get a wrap of the week's rural news. Clint Jasper has them for us. Clint, it feels like barely a day goes past without hearing a story coming from exploitation on farms.
That's right, Brett. There's been lots of stories since Four Corners aired a report last year called Slaving Away, detailing exploitation of workers in the horticulture industry. And throughout this week, there's been a labour hire inquiry in Victoria. Unions told that hearing that some farm workers were being paid as little as $10 an hour. And we saw the same kinds of stories on a recent 7:30 report, which found a group of Pacific Islanders were being paid as little as $9 a week after deductions to pick fruit and vegetables on Australian farms, and they were working under the federally funded seasonal worker program. This Victorian hearing, though, heard labour hire exploitation has been an ongoing issue in the Gippsland horticulture industry in eastern Victoria. George Robinson from the National Union of Workers presented to the inquiry evidence of jobs paying below the award rate being advertised openly in a range of Asian languages.
There's a real culture of impunity in the industry, in the horticulture industry, in the poultry industry, among contractors who essentially have no fear that they'll be caught and held accountable and prosecuted for violations of the Fair Work Act and other relevant legislation. And what contractors are doing is openly advertising positions on farms and in poultry factories significantly below the minimum wage.
One of the workers, Kayla Ho, told the inquiry that she received $14 an hour to work 12-hour days in Gippsland.
I know that is illegal, but I have no money on that time, so I have to do it. It's really tired. Every day when I went home, it's just what I can only do is take a shower and then go to sleep. Sometimes I don't even have dinner.
So some of the stories that you hear in all of these are pretty horrific. They're beyond what Australians would even bother getting out of bed for, really.
And so what happens with this inquiry? I imagine it will report back to government?
Yeah, they're hoping to do that by the end of July.
Now, Clint, I heard during the week that there were fines for a mushroom grower and then a labour hire firm for some issues with payments. What was happening there?
A mushroom farm and the company it uses to source workers have been caught underpaying dozens of Chinese and Taiwanese workers, and they've been ordered to backpay them, essentially. Grow More Mushrooms at Singleton in the Hunter Valley and its labour hire firm underpaid 52 workers, a total of $92,000 over an 11-month period. And the Fair Work Ombudsman Director, Craig Bildstein, says the mushroom grower and the labour hire company didn't pay the casual loading that you're supposed to pay on top of the wage.
They looked up the full-time rate, thought that was the basic rate, didn't take account of casual loadings. And hence we ended up with a situation where these workers were significantly underpaid. I think the largest underpayment for an individual was just under $7,000.
Now, Clint, this whole sector is one that's being looked at a lot federally at the moment. We're seeing these seasonal workers and backpackers, specific visa holders. They're the ones that do a lot of the work on horticultural properties. And now backpackers are set to be taxed even more. It's causing some issues within the government, though. What's the latest that we're hearing?
Yeah, we've heard plenty from backpackers saying that they'll go to other countries for their working holidays. And it's prompting federal backbencher and Nationals MP Andrew Broad to rethink plans to tax backpackers 32.5% from the first dollar they earn from July 1, which is the plan, and to make them no longer eligible for the tax-free threshold. Andrew Broad represents Mallee in northwest Victoria, a major fruit-growing region famous for its citrus, table grapes and wine industry. He met with the Prime Minister and the Treasurer this week to urge for a change in the policy.
Common sense needs to come back into this discussion. This was, I think, brought in without a lot of forethought about the consequences. You know, we've looked for a very long time about models to bring labour forces into agriculture. The backpackers have been a instrumental part of that, taking out some of the peaks and troughs. I think it's imperative that we make sure that we keep that workforce coming. And I don't think it passes the fairness test, in my opinion anyway, if you're out in 42 degrees working very hard, that the government thinks it can take 32% of your wage. I think we've got to make some changes, and I think we'll get there.
He's put forward a lower tax rate, around 19%, as an alternative, and the government says it's pressing on with the proposal and that backpackers shouldn't have been eligible for the tax-free threshold in the first place.
I think there's been a lot of questions being asked of regional-based ministers. They've all been deferring questions on to the Treasurer. It'd be interesting to watch this space to see if the Coalition does rework its policy there. One of the other things I've been noticing driving around is petrol prices seem to be getting lower and lower, the signs that you're seeing on the road. What's going on?
Well, it's a good situation for drivers, not so good for the oil barons, but I don't think there's a lot of sympathy for them there. So analysts are actually tipping diesel prices to remain low. They've already fallen 15 cents in the last 3 months, and they're normally one of the more sticky prices to come down. The falls in diesel prices have come as unleaded petrol hit seven-year lows at the Bowsers across the country. Comsec economist Savanth Sebastian says a global oil glut is behind the current fall in diesel prices.
The flow-through effect for diesel certainly hasn't taken place to the same extent it has for unleaded petrol, and I think that's the issue around the refining costs. If you look at the national average diesel price at the moment, it's down just shy of 1 cent a litre in the last week. It's holding around $1.12 a litre. I think this is where it'll stay over the near term.
Last month, ABC business reporter Emily Stewart put together a great piece explaining petrol and oil prices, and it explains things like what causes drops in prices at the Bowser, what caused the current drop, which is that glut, the oversupply of oil, what it means for the broader economy and what people think oil might do next. And on that point, most analysts expect prices might go up slightly in the short term, but will remain lower than what we've seen in recent years if this oversupply lingers.
One of the things that seems to cause a lot of frustration is that variation you see in prices across the country, particularly that urban-rural divide. I heard reports that Eyre, which is 90k south of Townsville, was offering the cheapest fuel in regional Queensland. It's something that Renee Smith from the motor lobby RACQ says it's really a tough one to explain. What are you hearing about other parts of the country, Clint?
Outside of the cities, you don't really expect to see a lot of competition among the suppliers, but an additional competitor has entered the market outside Alice Springs, and that's a part of the world where fuel companies have blamed low sale volumes and the high cost of getting fuel to the Bowsers for traditionally higher prices. Now prices out of town are about 10 cents cheaper than what you're seeing in Alice, and reporter Nathan Coates headed out to chat with people filling up, and he met Robbie.
I think it's great because normally I've got to go into town to get fuel to start with, and secondly I normally take on about 140 litres each time I fill up, so instead of paying say at $250, I'll fill my car up for 170, so it's a big difference.
When the prices in town are explained by transport costs and you arrive here, what do you think about that explanation?
A bit of hogwash as far as I'm concerned. If one person can do it, they should be all be able to do it.
So you hope this business set their prices at a sustainable level, that they can keep it going?
I hope they have, and I hope the other ones have to bring their prices down to suit, make it more competitive.
What about hog's wash, Clint? Do you think that's an explanation for what's going on?
Not one that's accepted by most drivers.
No, each week we do like to check in about some of the other news that's attracting our eye. What's drawing your eye this week?
The US at the moment, aside from its political madness, is having a really interesting debate about how genetically modified organisms should be labelled on food. And it all kicked off in the home state of Bernie Sanders, the Democratic primary candidate, who introduced a state law that was mandatory labelling for foods that contained GMOs, essentially. And the food industry lobby at a federal level basically objects to that. So they campaigned and lobbied to get their own federal law that will preempt this law. So it's working its way through the Senate at the moment in the States, and they have this deadline of July when this Vermont law kicks in. But it's raised a lot of interesting debates about how you should label foods, given the fact that scientific consensus overwhelmingly says GM foods are safe to eat, why you even need to label them. So it's just interesting watching those sides and how the chips fall and what might end up happening in the States.
It's one that I imagine people outside the US will be closely monitoring as well. It's one that does kick off a lot of debate. Mm. Something that's been drawing my eye is actually in the US as well. In poorer neighbourhoods, it's typically ones where you might see more convenience-based shops, kind of your 7-Elevens pop up. Now there's a push to put farmers markets at bus stops. So this idea being that lots of farmers markets are associated with boutique products and quite expensive produce. But now this idea of taking fresh fruit and vegetables and having it there at the bus stop where people who are on lower incomes can access it, maybe get something nicer to eat and a more nutritious piece of food into their system. So it was on Modern Farmer, which is a US newsletter that does an email out, and it kind of looks at food and fibre right across the states. It's a really interesting read, digging into that thing that we often hear so much about farmers markets here in Australia, but typically you are seeing more artisanal products might be popping up there. So that's worth checking out. We'll tweet out links to both those stories a little later this morning.